stupidly for, you know, we had our driveway was shoveled and all that good stuff. And then this morning, I just took a run at it, forgetting that the snow plows had come and put that wall up in front of my driveway. And God bless them, because the roads were pretty good today.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just fine traveling in. So God bless those people that have been out for the last 48 hours doing stuff. But I just forgot about it. And I have, you know, a smaller, lower to the ground car.
Vehicle, yeah.
And it did not go well in my driveway. So stuck there momentarily. Luckily, a good Samaritan and my husband dug me out. And I'm here. And well, I needed to be here because I haven't left the house since Thursday. Hey.
Well, the roads weren't going to keep me from getting here. My back maybe might have kept me from getting here, as I'm sure that there are many 40-year-olds across Fayette County and beyond in the state that are hurting right now.
Dan's in a plank position right now. We just had to put a microphone in front of his face.
Right. The snow kept... I mean, the biggest story in sports, snow-wise, is the Duquesne men's basketball team. Yeah. Those guys were trapped on a bus on the side of a road on the Pennsylvania Turnpike for 22 straight hours.
That is,
yeah.
That is unbelievable.
It is. It's not a good situation. I can remember,
how many hours is it until you start eating each other?
I think it's 48.
48?
Yeah, 48. And then it's like...
So they were
that
good.
Calf's looking like a chicken wing to
right.
me. But then they had chicken brought to them and sandwiches. I guess the coaches were able to get out somehow. The National Guard actually brought them water. So, I mean, one of the players that was interviewed on ESPN, he said, yeah, we were fine. You know, we didn't want for anything. We fell asleep. You know, we're stuck. Okay. We fell asleep. We woke up and like, oh, we're still here. Okay. We went out and played in the snow. We didn't go hungry. So they were fine. But, the relief of actually like 7:30 last night, the bus started moving. And they got home. They were finally back on campus.
Hopefully none of you had that experience. But if you want to share your Snowmageddon 2016, yeah. Give us a shout at 381-1313 if anything funny happened to you or whatever during this time. Hopefully nothing too serious or too bad. There were a lot of people stuck on 75 for 6-8 hours, something like that.
Unreal. That would be horrible.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
Fortunately, we took care of stuff, you know, the night before. Made sure we went to the grocery.
Yep. And those the pictures I saw on Facebook of Kroger.
Yeah.
Like... No bread, no food on the shelves.
I actually was home. Stayed home because the boys didn't have school. So I stayed home with them. And so the wife, she was the one who braved Kroger in those lines. And, of course, we did get milk, eggs, bread, all that. I mean, we had to have it.
Yeah.
Milk sandwiches with egg. I mean, it was great.
And did you see the one Jimmy John's driver who kept Jimmy John's afloat during this?
No.
On a scooter.
Oh, wow. So then, you know, we were in. We were in after that, you know, like most folks. I mean, just didn't need to go. Made sure we got everything knowing. So went nowhere. No, I take that back. Friday morning, before it got really bad, I did go do a little something for the radio station here. And then stayed in the rest of the time.
Well, I was wondering if they were going to have the game yesterday until I heard that Vandy had gotten here on Thursday.
Right.
So they were all good. But Kentucky's had a nice little 48-hour stretch.
Yes, they have.
Albeit against teams that I don't think are very good.
Right.
But Auburn is worse than both those teams.
Right.
So this, you know, Kentucky's obviously capable of having letdowns during entire halves of games.
Hasn't happened.
And they looked good, you know, pretty much start to finish in the last two outings.
Well, you mentioned, folks getting to the game. They showed up. John Calipari had something to say about the people getting into the game and just how surprised he was with how many folks were able to make it.
I thought we'd have, Dwayne said 12,000, I said 18.
Dwayne. That's what he's talking about.
And these knuckleheads figured out how to get here. I have no idea whether they came 2 days ago because they heard the storm. whether they were stuck on the highway and walked here. I don't know. I mean, but I walked in and I look up at 202 or whatever that corner is, and it's packed. Are you kidding me? I mean, you got to be crazy. I mean, no one's left their house. There's no bread on the shelves. There's no milk. There's no eggs. And 25,000 figured out how to get here. And they're going to wait for a radio show. What are you, nuts?
I take it you're not as impressed with the media turnout.
I was hoping Jerry was still stuck in Atlanta, but, you know. It's nice not seeing him yesterday, but, you know.
On a more serious note, can you talk about...
No, I was serious.
I know that.
Of course, he's giving it to Jerry Tipton from the Lexington Herald Leader.
No, I was serious.
Yeah. Oh, that was priceless. That was my favorite quote of the whole post-game press conference from Calipari.
And my favorite quote of the banter that those two have, because when Cal calls out anybody or some mentions anything, it's always Jerry.
Always, every time.
Every time. And when he first... When Cal first used the term beer muscles several years ago, and Jerry came back with, I have white wine muscles. That was maybe my favorite exchange.
Oh, man. He loves to give Jerry a hard time. He just does. And I'm not sure how Jerry, you know, felt about it at first, but, you know, it's been 7 years now. So I think Jerry's, embraced it now.
Yeah.
And...
Jerry's always going to be who he is, regardless.
Yeah. Well, what will happen is, I mean, if you guys don't understand why. I mean, Jerry Tipton gets probably demonized a little bit or villainized, you know. And he does take a different angle on things that sometimes comes across as negative, that he's thinking about it a different way, you know. And UK fans sometimes don't like what he writes.
Mm-hmm.
But really... At its core, he's giving a different perspective and holding the program accountable and its coach. That's really what he's doing, which a journalist, in the very true sense, what you're taught at school, like the good ones at Missouri that you went to, they teach you no bias, no nothing, hold them accountable because you're the watchdog. You're making sure, and you are giving different perspectives. Don't take it from the fans' perspective. So I appreciate what Jerry Tipton writes, and sometimes folks see it as negative, and sometimes he is coming across as negative. But the reason John Calipari calls him out is because he is the only one that
he is truly there every day.
Yeah,
every presser, every game, every single day.
Yeah, from the beginning when John Calipari will say things like, well, it's going to be a whiteout down there, or, you know, whatever he says. And Calipari likes to exaggerate. And he's doing it for effect. Well, Jerry will take it literal and go, well, Calipari said this, but in actuality, it was not a sellout, or it's not a whiteout, it's this instead, or, you know, or whatever he says. Calipari will make up a number, and, you know, Jerry will say, well, Cal said this, but here's the real number.
Yeah.
You know. And so it probably gets under Cal's skin a little bit, but Jerry's kept him accountable from the very beginning. And so, you know, John's having fun with him on that.
Yeah.
And sometimes if Calipari's in a bad mood, he'll just shut it down with Jerry. He'll just be, I don't know, Jerry. I don't know.
Yep.
Just move on. You have to ask him.
Yep. He's for sure the one guy, though, that Cal's got that back-and-forth banter with, good or bad.
And it has spread to the assistant coaches, like John Robick the other day, where Jerry says, if anyone else asks this question, I swear I think John Robick answers it. But he says, Calipari had talked about some changes. Can you tell us about what you were pondering as far as changes? No. Pauses. I can't talk about it. And there's like there's a vine of it that somebody sent out, and Eric Lindsay, who's, you know, the sports information director for basketball there, you could just see his smile begin as he sees the response to Jerry. So it's contagious. They all know on that staff, watch out for Jerry.
But of course, the big change was that Derek Willis gets inserted into the starting lineup, and he's had back-to-back really good games.
Yeah.
I mean, if this... When we're talking about consistency, which Alex had a good game yesterday, but he's shown none of his consistency. Cal said after the game that this just wasn't the time or place for Scal to get minutes. Just didn't like the matchups.
Right.
So Scal never really played. Marcus Lee has been up and down, you know, of late. Derek Willis, since he has gotten his time to be in the game, has been consistent.
He has. There's no doubt about it. Since he started playing, he's been a difference maker. And yesterday, he didn't even really score a lot, but he led the team in rebounds for the second or third time. I think he tied for the lead in rebounds the last game, previous game, and then he had, you know, 12 and 12. So he has done where he gets the rebounds, he plays some defense, he's not a liability.
And he'll make a shot or two.
Right.
And give you something. And I think that's all Cal wants from him offensively. If you hit,
right,
if he has two buckets and maybe hits a couple free throws, I think that's all he really wants out of him or needs out of him.
Well, Calipari said something to the effect of the way you were playing before, you know, you had to make every shot. Now, if you play this way, you don't have to make every shot. But that seems to be the obvious thing, and it's definitely a change that Derek is in there. The thing that I think we didn't really notice that doesn't stand out nearly as much, but is kind of revealed in post-game press conference here, is that the real tweak was getting Alex involved right off the bat. Tyler Ulis kind of tells us what the whole deal was against Vanderbilt. It was built on Alex Poitras.
That was the game plan. We wanted to attack them with Alex, and, you know, he came through for us. He scoring over two guys, scoring through them, and, you know, he just made good, strong, quick moves.
You know, Ken Spencer caught on to this too, our buddy from WHAS 11, that, you know, is it each half going to Alex? Is that to try to get him going? And it is. That's what it is. It's let's get Alex touches early in the post, get him going, and hope that that happens. Because against Arkansas, didn't he score 6 of the first 8 points? Mm-hmm. And then bye-bye. That was it.
You have to keep him wholly engaged on the offensive end. It never seems to be one of those things where we've seen with Jamal Murray a couple times this year, he'll maybe have 4 or 6 points in the first half and then explode for 15 in the second half. Alex doesn't do that. It isn't where he sees the team is down 6 and needs something, and so he's just going to be that guy.
Right, right.
He's got to be engaged from the get-go.
He has to have someone get him involved, and that's something Calipari figured out. See? One of the changes, I think, is that they figured out we can't just let Alex do it on his own. We have to force feed him. And it's worked, at least in this game against Vanderbilt. And they tried it again against Arkansas and went back to it again. All right, 381-1313 is the number to call. Get in here and talk about the Cats. We got a lot of other stuff to talk about. We're also going to get in on high school basketball, the last team still undefeated in the state of Kentucky, the only team left that is undefeated in the state of Kentucky. Boys basketball, Mercer County, 20-0. We're going to talk to the head coach, Josh Cook, coming up in about 30 minutes, 9:45, here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Well, I hope your heat is on because it is cold, very cold out there. Glenn Frey, the voice we're hearing right now, of course, he died this week. Famous Eagles. Did you ever see the Eagles in concert?
I never did, no.
I saw them at Riverbend back when the ticket prices for concerts were more like $35, $40. And the Eagles were really one of the first to come out and say $75, $85, $100 if you want to see us. And it was like, oh, my gosh, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
I'm not paying that. We caved, paid that, $70, I think. And ticket prices from then on forward have now gone
now
to,
for like one-hit wonders.
Yeah.
$80.
Ridiculous numbers. But back then, you could see a good concert for $30 to $40. Gosh, I miss those days.
I went to a lot of concerts in college.
I did,
a lot of them.
I did. I did as well. But the Eagles were good. It was good. I felt like, you know, after we were done, a buddy of mine that went with me, like, yeah, we're glad we did that, to hear all the Eagles' great stuff. Someone else who passed this weekend, Van Florence. He was the president of the Committee 101.
Mm-hmm. Just such a long time, huge supporter of the UK basketball program.
And the coaches. He would kind of take care of the coaches' needs and what they needed and kind of help them out from Adolph Rupp through Billy Gillespie. That's how long Van Florence served the University of Kentucky basketball program. So it's awfully impressive. And then he organized all the blue coats that you see at the football and basketball games.
Nobody ever had a bad word to say about him. I mean, ever. No. Just one of the nicest, genuinely nicest human beings on the face of the earth. So we wish his family the best, and sad to hear of his passing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Back to the basketball game. Alex Poitras is a guy, you look at him and say, why? Like last night, like all over Twitter. If this is the Alex Poitras Kentucky gets, then here's the possibilities. If Alex plays this way, then, you know, that's what everything starts with. Wow, if we could only get Alex this way.
Right, and it's been that way for 3 years.
Yeah. And Calipari said, I don't want him to just be consistent. I want him to be better every time out, challenging him. But
we got to start with consistent first.
Yeah, just got to start with consistent. And Calipari has been asked how many ever different ways. So is Alex Poitras. Mm-hmm. Why can't you do it every game? Why aren't you consistent? And it's just Calipari's gotten tired of answering the question. He's answered it, like I said, every way he possibly could. And he'll go off onto crazy rants and analogies to somehow try to answer. What was the one he went on where he said, oh my gosh, was it last weekend? What was his crazy thing, his metaphor? Do you remember his rant that he went on?
I thought last week was when he said, you'll have to ask Alex.
He did, and then like he came back to something else and went off, and then he goes, so I couldn't tell you the answer. Because he was answering Tim Sullivan's question about Alex, and he went sideways on it. But anyway, it was another long metaphor. And again, he's asked about Alex, and he goes off on his corner office metaphor.
You know, I said this. Everyone wants the corner office and the big car and the nice pay raise, but they just don't want to have the responsibility every day, every possession, every moment that goes along with the corner office and the nice car and the, well, when I was in that other thing and no one even knew me for a week and I'd be all right and I'd go out and do it, and then every quarter I had to, well, yeah, when you're in the corner office, they want to know every day, every moment. That's what's hard. And like Tyler, he wants the corner office. That's what he wants. And he thrives in it. Other guys want in that corner office because they like to put their feet up and have the secretary. But it's on you now every day. They want to know you. What did you do this morning? What? This morning? Had a coffee. What are you talking about? So that's the stuff that we're trying to get through to these guys. Did I filibuster you guys enough on that?
Well, again, you know, he's going around the way to show that he doesn't know the answer for Alex. But there is without a doubt that he is hugely important the way he plays this way. And here's the Jamal Murray. Listen to what Jamal Murray says about Alex Poitras. Putting Sean on the spot here.
Yeah, that's the best defensive game we had, and that's what we need to do every game because, you know, in order for us to win, we have to be a defensive team, and if we do that, we're going to be pretty good.
That's Tyler.
Yeah, that was Tyler. You were talking about defense.
And they did play well defensively.
They did. We'll get back to that. But to continue the point on Alex Poitras, everybody's saying If he would just play this way, we have to have him play this way, then so much is possible if Alex plays this way. Well, you're not the only ones thinking that.
For sure. We need him a lot more than he knows it. And as one of the captains and veterans here, he's got to take that responsibility, and he's doing a good job of that. So, a lot of the freshmen here, like Scal and Isaac, here, Ty, they're all just looking up to him and trying to figure out how to play.
I mean, we need him more than he knows it. So, I mean, his teammates see it too.
And he's right. Now, I will say this about Jamal, just to take a break from Alex for a second, about Jamal. Cal has taken, I think, him aside and watched some video with him on just winning plays.
Right.
This is what you do. These are the types of plays it takes to win games. And Jamal Murray's done that the last couple games. I mean, so now we're talking about him as a lottery pick, where I think for sure he's a lottery pick. But when you're talking about Chad Ford from ESPN, their NBA insider, he's actually got two lottery picks on this team.
Yeah.
And I just don't know, Dan, why, if Scal can't play against Vandy because the matchups are not good against Vandy.
Right.
I just don't know. And I guess some NBA team will take a chance on him. But would you take a chance on him as a lottery pick?
Well, because the draft is not... Because you bring up something else to go a different way.
I know. I really took you off the rails. We can talk.
Because there's that something later. That was out this week. Did you see what Gary Parrish wrote or said on his podcast or whatever? So the thing on Scal, that because the draft class is so weak, that he should go. Like, there's no way Scal should come back. Like, Vital yesterday says, "Oh, absolutely, he's got to come back, baby. There's no way he could go." Yeah. Gary Parrish and the guy he was talking to says he has to go. And Gary is saying this based off what a scout had told him. The scout said, yeah, some team is going to take a flyer on him just based on the skill set. That skill set. Like, you hear so many people criticize and say, well, he's just, I don't understand, he's not that good. And, well, for his size, he shoots it well. He's got that kind of skill. And it just hasn't come out all the way yet. But it's there. You see flashes of it, so you think, wow.
Yeah.
So a scout or a team would take a chance on him. I don't know if it would be in the lottery, but it could be in the first round. For Scal, that means you go in the first round. It's 3 years guaranteed money. No matter what happens to you, you're guaranteed 3 years money for 3 years. So next year's class is a lot stronger. You know, the freshmen that are coming in, it's going to be a lot stronger draft class. And if Scal comes back and does slightly better, but is not a superstar, or doesn't get to that potential that everyone thinks he has, now he's ruined it. Now he's got no shot, unless he stays another couple years and all of a sudden blossoms. But
sometimes the mystery of having the potential there versus seeing another year of not showing the potential.
Yeah. If this is who he is, it won't show up in, NBA teams won't know that until he does it again for a second year, if this is who he is. But right now, it's still, well, this, that, and the other be causing him to not play to that potential yet.
Or Cal's trying to play him out of position and
right.
not in the, not showcasing what his particular set of skills may be.
So for him, he has to go. For his own good. Because what happens if Bam Adebayo, Sasha Kalia Jones, who's the other guy? Winyon Gabriel. That's not including if Kentucky gets this Jarrett Allen or Marcus Bolden. I mean, you're talking about four
bigs.
Bolden's
the top center.
Right.
And he's...
Yeah.
Would not be surprised if he came to Kentucky.
You're talking about four bigs. Scal's going to get shuffled to the back. I mean, is Marcus Lee going? Is he coming back? Could be.
It may be the same deal for Marcus Lee.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to give it a try, now is the year to do it.
Right. All right, let's take a break. We want to get back to Jamal Murray because you did make a point there that I wanted to get off on Jamal Murray. And you can talk about it, too, 381-1313 here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Hearing something with a little beat to it. We watched Straight Outta Compton last night. But this is nothing close to
that. No, but I think you have to understand where the tie-in is coming from, Sean, today. This is snow.
Oh, clever.
Yeah, very clever, right?
Wow. See, Josh would have never thought of that. Like, the last song you played, though, going to break, Black Sabbath, Josh would have done that. I mean, for sure. Snowblind. I didn't even realize. Wow. Mind blown.
I know. I do think Josh played Let It Snow back in August.
Yeah.
Or just Winter Wonderland.
Winter Wonderland. Yeah. Maybe like Dolly Parton's Winter Wonderland he played for us.
Out of
in
the
August,
the clear blue sky. Right. No rhyme or reason to it.
He might have a master plan. We don't know. Our buddy Josh, the normal producer for the show, he lives in Richmond, so it's a little bit more difficult for him to get up this way. I don't blame him at all for not coming this way.
We want to thank you all for listening, tuning in this morning to the number one Sunday morning sports talk show in Lexington.
Yes.
We're really proud of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Makes it all worthwhile because we have normal jobs during the week, and we come here on the weekend mornings because we love it. But if you guys didn't listen, then we wouldn't love it so much. But we were making a point about Jamal Murray and talking about him a little bit. What he has done, he probably doesn't get talked about enough for what he's doing.
It's been quiet, hasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think people realize some of the stuff that he's done. He had 18 points yesterday. It's 17th consecutive double-figure game. He has scored at least 12 points in 18 of his first 19 games. The only guys to ever have that kind of start or have a better start than that, Cotton Nash and Bill Spivey.
Both of whom's jerseys hang in the rafters at Rupp.
Yeah. Cotton Nash had 12-plus points in 35 of his first 36 games. Bill Spivey, 24 of his first 25. So now Jamal, 18 of his first 19, 12 points or better. I don't see it stopping anytime soon. He could go the rest of the season this way, and then he would surpass Cotton Nash and Bill Spivey for that. I mean, when has Kentucky had a scorer, a pure scorer, like Jamal Murray? I mean, he is absolutely shooter's mentality, scoring buckets.
That's what I was going to say. When he shoots it from three, I know they don't all go in, obviously, but I think they're going in every time. That's how many shots he's making. I do think they're going to go in.
And what will happen is sometimes he'll have a bad half where it's not going for him, but he doesn't stop, and then it does go for him. Like the game against Arkansas, I think he was 2 for 10 in the first half and came out in the second half and scored like 14 of his 19 points, made like 5 of 8 shots. And then we've seen him when he takes over late, he just gets crazy. I mean, he went into a zone against Arkansas there for a little while that's why he'll play in the NBA next year.
I guess Jody's the last one that I think of as just a pure scorer.
Yeah. To me too, yeah. I would say, and it would have been wild to have seen Jody play for John Calipari.
Yeah.
Oh, Jody, if you would have stayed, Kentucky would have another national championship, bud. You could have left with a ring. All that nasty taste in your mouth from Billy Gillespie would have been just washed away with the sweet taste of victory.
Cleansed.
Oh, my gosh. That one still haunts. That one still haunts.
Because they should have won it that year anyways.
Yeah.
But they'd have never shot that poorly from three if Jody's still on the team.
No. Dick Vitale started to go down that road. He got sidetracked by the UK cheerleaders, which won another national championship. But he was saying Cal should have a couple more. And the one he was going to say was Memphis, I think.
Yeah.
And then he was going to say 09-10. Which, do you ever notice Calipari never calls Memphis Memphis anymore? He calls it the other school.
Yeah.
Because they snubbed him the way they did. Which I agree. I mean, you screwed that up so bad.
They handled that so poorly. And I would have been fine with them never doing anything.
Right.
Go ahead and don't
honor
him.
Do anything, yeah. But don't bring it up.
Say it, and then the next day. And let him, don't do it. Wait for him to comment about how great it's going to be, and then pull the rug out from under him.
Yeah. Idiots. Absolute idiots. We were talking about 09, 010 there, though. That brings up DeMarcus Cousins. Did you see what he did last night? 48 points.
Yeah.
DeMarcus had 48 points, 17 of 29. He said something like Vlade Divac was trying to tell him in the tunnel, get the 50 ball, get the 50. Because he wound up 13 of 20 from the free throw line. So a couple more free throws, you know, a little bit better percentage there, he would have gotten the 50.
He's the best center in the NBA.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine what the Lakers would be like if they had gotten him. And Rondo. Because Sacramento's got those guys. Yeah, things are looking good. Rondo had his second straight double-double. I mean, triple-double.
Yeah.
Second straight triple-double and sixth of the season, which sets the franchise record. He surpassed Chris Webber for most triple-doubles in a season. And it's also Rondo's 11th straight.
And we're not even to the All-Star break.
No. He's got 11 straight games now with 10 or more assists. 11 straight games with 10 or more assists.
I mean, if you can play with the guy, he can play now.
And he and Cousins are, I mean, they are gelling. I mean, they are getting together.
Is it because everybody else hates them?
I guess so. I think they're like kindred spirits. Like, we're both the most misunderstood players in this league. Coaches don't understand us. Our teammates don't understand us. All we want to do is win. And Cousins like, right, dude.
Yeah.
Finally. Finally, man. You're my soulmate, Rondo. You're my soulmate.
Spirit animals.
Yes. And then you throw Willie Cauley-Stein into the mix. 12 rebounds last night. He's having a good rookie year.
Yeah.
He's not like destroying things like Karl Anthony Towns and just having one of the all-time great rookie years, which Towns, by the way, 27 points, 17 rebounds, 6 block shots the other night. That is the first time a rookie has had 25, 15, and 5 since Shaq.
And God love him. It's my home state team, but you just feel bad for some of those guys that go to wayward franchises. And that's why, you know, you're the number one pick, so you're going to go to a bad team. I get that.
Yeah.
But I just feel like there have been teams that make strides. Like the Wizards were god-awful when they picked John Wall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're pretty much a perennial playoff team,
yeah,
albeit in the Eastern Conference, which is significantly weaker. But they make some noise. They've won a playoff series or two now, right?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen with the Timberwolves. I'm sorry.
If you got to watch that game the other night, oh my gosh. They were playing the Mavericks. They had the game won. They were beating Dallas the entire game. It was Minnesota all the way. Fourth quarter, they allowed Dallas to come back on them and just gave up some silly stuff. Dallas sends it to overtime and just destroys Minnesota in overtime.
Yeah.
Takes off and goes, I don't know, wins it by 10 or 15, it feels like. Double digits. And it was just one they absolutely gave away. But one more guy from the NBA, we got to say. Did you see what Archie Goodwin did last night?
Game winner.
Game winner.
Onions.
Onions, absolutely. The Suns tied at 95 with a tenth of a second left or something. He gets the shot off at the top of the key, three. Game winner for the Suns.
And Devin Booker had 32 for them the other night.
Yes, he did. Unbelievable for what he's doing. He was hot. I watched all the buckets that he had. They just showed every basket that he made. He was on fire, and the announcers were like, you got to feed it to him. But Archie Goodwin also had a SportsCenter top 10 dunk. He just came through the lane and just you know, cocked it way back and just went flying through the air, threw it down. So he looked pretty good as well. Yeah, these NBA guys for Kentucky are looking great. But the Kings, they've won five straight now. They're 8 out of 11 in the month of January. Playoffs. We got to see the Kings in the playoffs. Got to. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk more basketball, but on the high school level, with Mercer County head coach Josh Cook. He is the head coach of the
undefeated,
only one left in the state, 20-0 Mercer County Titans. That's next here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.
Let's see, is this dead leaves in the dirty grass or something? Is that what it is? Yeah. You listen to Jack White at all, White Stripes, Mary Jo?
No.
Oh,
no,
I dig them. Man. I mean, not only Seven Nation Army, but the latest stuff, what's the latest song that he put out there? Come on, Sean. You got it? No? All right. Well, I can't let this go without, you know, pulling it out, so I got to see what it is on my phone. you talk amongst yourselves. Lazaretto. Good stuff. All right, we can resume the show now. I don't have to worry about what that song was.
Yeah, let's bring it back.
All right, here's what we got. Mercer County is number one in the state. And it seems like they came out of nowhere. They were good last year. There's no doubt. They were good last year. The 12th region is jammed. Last year, Boyle County. Remember, Boyle County had that crazy run through the Sweet 16. They beat Lexington Catholic in a game that Lexington Catholic had pretty much in hand with about 4 minutes left. Yeah,
up 12 or something.
Yeah, up 12 with, I think, 4 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And Boyle came back to win that one. And then Boyle beat Ballard, I believe.
Yeah, it was Ballard.
Yes. There it is.
That other voice that you hear on the line.
That is Mercer County head coach Josh Cook. Yes, good morning, coach. But morning. Lincoln County has been playing well. Pulaski County has been playing well. Southwestern. And then here comes Mercer County, and boom, next thing you know, 20-0, and number one in the state, and maybe four Division I players. Four players who are at least going to play at the next level, no doubt. What do you think, coach? Of that statement, do you have four guys who are going to play at the next level?
Yeah, I think so. I think they all can play at a certain spot. They just got to find the right fit. You know, our point guard's committed to Colorado School of Mines, which is a Division II school. He's going to major in engineering. But you know, with our other guys, we've got, you know, and I think we have a couple other guys too, if they're willing to, you know, go play a role for a team at the next level. I think we got a lot of guys that can fill a spot for college basketball team.
Now, did you say it was Dylan James that's going to the School of Mines?
No, that'd be Will Hager.
Will Hager's going to the School of Mines out there near Boulder. It's a beautiful place. He's gonna he's gonna love it if he can stay on track, because I think the Coors Brewery is across the street from that school. But you have Malik Dow, who's been tearing it up. Trevon Faulkner's your leading scorer at nearly 20 points a game. Dylan James, 15 points a game. You got four guys averaging double figures. So they like to share the ball, right?
They really like to share the basketball. We probably average around 15 assists a game as a team. And those guys have kind of bought into the ideal of, you know, whoever's got the hot hand, that's who we're going to, you know, kind of feed, and just kind of wait to see what the defense is going to give up. And, you know, we try to attack it with one of those guys that's playing well.
Now, Coach, having gone through, you know, watched what UK went through last year, you get, you know, there's 5-0, and then there's 10-0, and now all of a sudden you're 15-0, and then you're 20-0. Does this become something that you guys talk about now? I mean, is it an elephant in the room? Are we are these guys really taking it just game by game, or now are they thinking bigger picture, like let's run the table on this thing? Or is there, I mean, is there talk about what could potentially be?
To be, just being honest, I mean, I'm sure we're all aware of it, but really our kids do a pretty good job of just taking it week by week. And that's kind of been our mentality. We've used a little bit of a different strategy, saying that if we play twice a week, we call that a district tournament. If we play three games a week, we call that a regional tournament. And basically we're just trying to, you know, survive in advance and win each game. But just using that little small method, I think, helps. But really, we got to, you know, our group of kids are pretty humble, and they haven't paid a whole lot of attention to those things. And I think, we, you know, they saw success from what they've been doing, and they just want to keep on having it. So, I mean, they stayed pretty humble, and they've handled the highs and lows pretty well. So, I mean, we're pretty blessed, I have to say that.
I am just really impressed by the way you guys shoot the ball. I mean, those guys we talked about, Malik Dow and Dylan James and Will Hager, these guys are all, and Faulkner, they're all shooting above 50%. As a team, you guys are shooting close to 53% and almost 40% from three-point range. I mean, are you surprised as well as how well you guys shoot it overall?
I guess sometimes. I mean, sometimes we're shooting the basketball a little better than expected. But, I mean, I think it comes down to taking good shots. And like I said, when they play unselfish and they kind of find the rhythm of the game, the rhythm will kind of tell you which direction to go. And it means you're shooting well outside. You know, you're going to take more outside shots if you've missed a few early on. And, you know, you need to get to the rim, you know, get to the rim, get easy shots. And, you know, our guys make the extra pass when you do those things. I mean, I think this is kind of 2 years in a row that our group of kids have shot over 50% from the field. And so when you make the extra pass and you look for a good shot, you know, we're scoring a lot of points too. So, you know, we want a lot of possessions. But our guys really buy into the idea of making the extra pass. And, you know, it leads to a high percentage look.
We're talking with Mercer County head coach Josh Cook of the undefeated Titans here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. And, Coach, you guys are winning games by like an average of 25 points or something.
Destroying people.
So when you talk about your team has done good with the highs and lows of the season, I can't imagine being undefeated and just blowing teams away. There have been all that many lows. As a coach, do you want a couple of games here and there where you're really pushed to see if this team has maybe that extra gear to, obviously they can win games, but if they're challenged and it's, you know, ball game on the line with 2 minutes to go, kind of see what this team is made of?
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, I also would probably make this statement. I don't, you know, any coach that tells you there's probably a good loss, you know, I don't believe that. I feel like that's more of like a stereotype answer. I think, you know, I mean, a loss, they're going to happen either way. And, you know, when our time comes, we'll lose the basketball game and we'll go on to the next play in the next game. But our guys have, you know, they've battled through some adversity. And, you know, the Madison Central game, we were down 17-18 at one point. I think we were down 17 in the first quarter. And you know, Coach Phil House, who's a, you know, he's a, one of the best. He's a Hall of Famer in my book for sure. You know, against his type of kids and how hard they played. And they had us in a position where our kids had to back down. And our kids just kind of, you know, they pulled together. They've had some moments there. Definitely in some quarters, especially the first quarter, we've had some games. Even at Anderson County, I guess a couple weeks ago, we were down maybe 10 to 12 the first quarter. And for the most part, our guys have looked at it, and they've kind of pulled together, and they've listened to the halftime adjustments and come out and play good. And, you know, the kind of key I like about it is it's a 32-minute game. You know, you can be beat any quarter, but for 32 minutes, you know, our guys are kind of hanging in there and keep battling and fighting through adversity and finding ways to win.
Well, you come through the home stretch here, the end of January and February, and just my opinion on it, it's the toughest part of your schedule is coming up. I mean, Boyle yeah. County, you got the Jessamine brothers, you got to play down there at Pulaski County, you got Lafayette in the Jock Sutherland Classic. I'm going to go to that. I mean, that's going to be awesome. 8 o'clock on February 6th, so that's 2 weeks, two Saturdays from now, they'll be at the in Lexington at Lafayette. And then Lincoln County, and then you close at Southwestern. So you're really going to be, if you weren't battle-tested before, you will be now.
Yeah, we will. I mean, this is and I kind of like our schedule. I feel like it kind of builds up. You know, our guys have really found a rhythm playing with each other. And then, you know, we're going to be tested. And like I said, I mean, we'll take it week by week, just trying to prepare for the district or regional tournaments to come in February and March. And it'll be exciting for sure. There's some dates on there that, you know, those are going to be some really good basketball games.
Well, we'll be looking forward to watching them, Coach, and seeing how long you can keep this streak alive. It's been really fun to watch. 20-0. Good luck to you the rest of the way, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks for being on with us. Mercer County Head Coach Josh Cook joining us here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. And once again, just let me tell you, February 6th, they could still be undefeated. They got Boyle County this week, and then West Jessamine and East Jessamine back-to-back nights. Pulaski County down there, that could be one. Maybe the streak ends there. But if not, like I said, in 2 weeks, a Saturday at Lafayette High School, 8 o'clock, Jock Sutherland Classic. That's a place to go see.
Yeah.
Lafayette versus Mercer County will be a great game to go see. All right, when we come back, we'll talk more UK basketball. And there was a little Twitter beef last night between a UK reporter and some dude from Indiana. We'll talk about that just a little bit when we return on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Keep moon up in the sky.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to @DReefer or @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Joe Perino.
All right, welcome back. We just mentioned before the break that we were going to get into the little Twitter beef that we saw last night between Kyle Tucker of the Courier-Journal and Dan Dockich, who we know who Dan Dockich is. And even last week, remember the rant that I went on about him, that it was irresponsible for ESPN to keep him in its employ in the role that he's in when he goes on and lists his top point guards and doesn't and just clearly, blatantly leaves out one of the best point guards, if not the best, definitely the top five.
Due to his own personal bias.
Right, his own agenda. And to for ESPN to allow Dan Dockich to continue his agenda on its network, I thought was irresponsible. And Kyle Tucker, I think you have that same opinion, don't you?
Well, you know, I don't know about all I know is, you know, I think everybody reasonable thought it was a little ridiculous of all the people. There are plenty of people, certainly before the last week where they've sort of gotten it together here on Kentucky's team that you could criticize. It just seemed a little odd and sort of just intentionally mean-spirited to go after the one guy who plays his guts out every night and is, I think, you know, a top point guard. I mean, who knows where he ranks, but just sort of the tone of that Twitter rant by him was odd. What caused everything last night was really, really silly, because I did a story about how Tyler's been carrying this team. He's averaging over 19 points and 7 assists a game over the last 7-8 games, and playing 39 minutes a game, and talked to his dad, talked to his high school coach. And at the end of the interview, his high school coach just said, "Hey, and tell Dan Dockich to get off him."
Yeah.
And so after his big game last night, I tweeted that quote with a link to the story that I had written. It was a quote from somebody else, from somebody that is close to Tyler Ulis. And as you saw, Dan sort of went in on me. But that's what he does. That's who he is. You know, I wouldn't say this about many people, but I just think he's kind of a bad guy. And, you know, I just don't see what the reason is to, one, attack, you know, teenagers, and then especially just the constant, and it is constant with him, just lashing out at people in this really sort of irrational, I would say unhinged way. And I don't know if it's because he's deranged or if it's because he's, you know, seeking attention. I'd hope he's not deranged. I hope he's seeking attention, because otherwise he's truly disconnected from this world. So, but no, I wasn't going to take that. And, you know, I've really tried to tamp down my Twitter beefs, because, you know, look, it's silly. It's immature. We don't need to, you know, puff our chests out at each other on the internet.
Right.
But I just wasn't going to take sort of some of the things he was saying. And I don't really think he's frankly qualified to say a lot of the things he says. So I was happy to let him know that I feel that way.
Yeah, and I feel you, Kyle, on the, you know, we don't need, you know, pick your battles. But it was like he went after you and attacked you.
Fanboy.
Yeah, he took it pretty nasty way. And that's, you know, as somebody who, you know, I'm not trying to be sanctimonious, but as somebody who tries to do a good and fair job as a journalist.
That's one of the worst things you can be called in your profession.
I don't really take kindly to that. I really don't. And, you know, I have no connection to Kentucky. I'm not from here. I lived in Virginia for 8 years. I grew up in Tennessee. It's funny to be called that, but that's fine. And, you know, I think rival fans think that if you cover the team of their, and that's fine too. Fans are supposed to be sort of ridiculous, but he's a professional, allegedly, who's sort of in this business, whether he likes to acknowledge it or not. And he should know better, and he should talk better. He should think better. He should be better, and he's not. And, you know, he likes to talk about who's tough and who's not on the internet, but he's never walked up to me in person. So I would love to chat with him the next time he's in Lexington, if that ever happens, because I'd like to look in his eye and know whether or not he's actually this ridiculous. If he actually thinks the things that come out of his mouth, or this is a personality, you know, that he's trying to, a persona he's trying to portray. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but as you can tell, it ticked me off. I'm still mad about it. And, you know, adults speak to each other face to face.
There is a certain level of attention seeking with him and Kentucky. And I think he is trying to use. Yeah, I don't know that he actually does believe all the things he says about Kentucky, because some of them are so irrational that you can't really think that someone who has a basketball IQ really, honestly, truly believes some of the stuff that he says, but he's just waiting for there to be a response.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I don't care if he doesn't like Kentucky or blast Kentucky or any of that. I mean, I don't care if he wants to be, he can be as critical of whoever is he wants to be. I was simply relaying something that
a quote that from someone else
said, that cares about one of the players and didn't like the way he'd been talking about him, and to, for him to respond that way, it was just, I don't know, it's ridiculous, but it's not what's important, and hopefully it doesn't linger, because you know, I'm not interested in continuing that with him, but I think he is pretty interested in stirring the pot, and I think he relishes. I think he relishes the attention. He's one of those people that thinks there's no all publicity is good publicity, even if people think you're a raving lunatic. You know, that's good attention. You know, that's a toddler mentality.
I mean, it is, absolutely. Behave.
I mean, yeah. You know, if I poop on the floor, then mommy's going to pay attention to me. So, congratulations to Dan. He successfully pooped on the floor.
Yeah, because I mean, that's the reason we called today. I mean, to talk about this right here. But look, to take the mentality with, you know, if you get in an argument over something or disagreement or whatever, and then to take whatever picture you have on your Twitter profile and then make a judgment on that by saying, oh, Kyle is trying to be a tough guy. He's trying to look tough. And in the picture,
I was actually looking at Alex Forsberg, who had crashed at my feet, and I was wondering if he was hurt.
Well, you can see his head in the picture. You can see Poitras's head there, even part of that. But to say you're soft and call you out that way, it is such a childish mentality for a man who makes his living, partially anyway, by broadcasting games on ESPN as an analyst, as an expert analyst. I mean, Bill Walton's ridiculous, but Dan Dockage is beyond that.
Hey, I mean, listen, ESPN employed his former boss, who is
absolutely
a raving lunatic. So, yeah. I don't know that, you know, I guess they'll let anybody on the air these days.
Two of a kind.
All right, listen, Kyle, real quick, since we do have you on the phone, you mentioned a couple minutes ago, since they turned the corner this last week, do you think Kentucky has turned the corner?
You know what? I don't know. And I think this team is inconsistent enough to say, let's hold off on that. Because they did put together two good games, which I think is a positive step, and one was on the road, and one was against a team that I thought in Vanderbilt was really going to be a trouble for them.
Yeah.
And I do think what I'm sure of, so I guess I'm not sure of it, but what I believe from yesterday is that was the best game that they've played, the most complete game they've played all season, you know, across the board, inside out. Derek Willis, you know, didn't shoot it well, but he continues to be a really valuable member of the team, which I think about 5 games ago I wouldn't have guessed, 3 games ago. But I think they found something there with him, and he really wants to make this work, and so he's doing some of those things they're asking him to do. I mean, him getting 9 rebounds is just huge for them. And then if Poitras is going to get the ball in the post and attack people the way that he did, you know, that makes them a threat. And they have all the pieces. This team has all the pieces. I think they've been a little mismatched, you know, and Cal's tried to move them around and figure out how to make them work, but they have the talent to make a run. And if these guys do what they can do, you know, they're a threat. I don't know if they've turned a corner, but they've shown, I think, in these last couple games, how dangerous they could be if they play the right way down the stretch in March.
So I got to ask you this, because you guys were stuck in Atlanta, and, you know, Jerry Tipton, I know, was also stuck in Atlanta. And then Calipari makes the comment that it would have been nice if you guys would have stayed stuck in Atlanta at least. How much do you enjoy that little back and forth between Cal and Jerry?
I think it's great. I think they both enjoy it. I think they relish it. It's fun. You know, I think that's sort of, for the most part, that's a pretty good-natured back and forth. And, you know, grown-ups can have those, you know, without it getting way down in the mud. So, anyway, hey, I got to run. I'm actually about to board a flight now, but appreciate you guys having me on.
Hey, well, thanks,
Kyle, for making time for us. Appreciate it. And safe travels.
See you guys.
Hope there's no delays or anything. Yeah, they were stuck in Atlanta. I didn't know if they were going to – I don't think they knew if they were going to make it back. Actually, I meant to ask Kyle there. I don't know how they actually did make it back, because I know at one point they seemed to be looking for rental cars to drive back from Atlanta to get here for the game in time. And I know Vital was making a comment like, I don't know if I'm going to make it in time for the game. But they all made it back in time, and now Kyle's off to somewhere else. I'm sure he's so happy to be boarding a plane after all the misery that he just went through.
So we appreciate Kyle Tucker from the Louisville Courier-Journal coming on with us to kind of talk about that, because it was, I mean, it did get heated. There was some nastiness being spouted by Dan Dokic. And Kyle was throwing it back at him.
Yeah, and I meant to ask Kyle if his employer said anything to him about it, because he used some harsh words, but warranted, no doubt. I mean, and Kyle did it at a different kind of level than Dokic did. Dokic really came at him just so immature-like. I was kind of taken back by what was on there, what he was saying. So if you haven't seen it, I mean, if you go follow Kyle Tucker, or it's just at Kyle Tucker _CJ, or at Dan Dokic, and just follow and go back and look at the tweets they sent back and forth. It was started over something that was nothing, and Dokic took it like to a personal level immediately, like personal to Kyle Tucker.
And I do think Dan Dokic is an internet troll. I tweeted about him during halftime, but during the first half yesterday, tweeted something about maybe he'll put Tyler Ulis in his top point guards. No, probably not. But I didn't at symbol him or whatever.
Right, tag him.
I didn't tag him in there. But 5 minutes later, he liked it.
Yeah,
and
so
I don't follow him. He doesn't
it.
Follow me, obviously.
Right.
Why would he follow me? So he's actively putting searches out for his name.
Right.
And
to see who's saying what about
refreshing
him.
And refreshing.
Yeah.
And I think it's Kentucky people, because he tweeted something before any of the Kyle Tucker stuff. He tweeted, "Thanks, BBN, for always keeping me at the front of your minds," or something like that. So I
he came off looking bad.
He
read
did.
The tweets,
he comes off looking really bad.
Yeah, stupid. He just comes off looking stupid. Like, what's wrong with you? Which is why Kyle said the things he said. I hope he's just being a troll and grabbing attention, because otherwise he's deranged.
Well, you could tell deranged. Kyle was still a little upset about it this morning. And
absolutely.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. And I don't know. Dokic is a big, tall guy. Kyle is not as big, but I think Kyle's been working out this year, doing some CrossFit and stuff, so he'll at least be in shape and ready to go. But Dokic is never coming to Rupp Arena. He's not stepping foot in Rupp Arena. So
if he calls a UK game, it would be on the road, be my guess. He's done a couple.
Has he?
UK
I can't even
games.
Remember. I guess he has. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. That's right. I remember that now.
Last year during the 38 no.
Right.
It was tricky for him to find things to nitpick Kentucky on.
All right. I think we've spent enough time talking about Dan Dokic. We can get back to talking about the successful Kentucky Wildcats over the last, since Thursday, they've looked really good. We'll talk more about that. You can too, 381-1313 here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Of course, this is.
Do you want to build a snowman?
From Frozen.
It doesn't have to be a snowman.
No way, Anna.
I mean, if you have kids, you would know where this song comes from.
Yeah.
And you will have heard it so much that you'd rather stab yourself in the head with a needle than hear it again.
No,
thank
I
you,
Sean.
I
don't want to build a snowman.
No, I don't. And I don't want to let it go. Ugh. Yeah, my boy's grandparents, my parents, thought it would be, you know, a nice gift for the kids to give them the CD of Frozen soundtrack so that every time we go anywhere in the car, Frozen CD. New rule, no. But yesterday, I hired a guy, this guy that came to our street. He had a four-wheeler and a blade on the front of it. And so he was doing driveways for $20 a pop, which, you know, a sidewalk is one thing. The driveway, that's a lot. That's a lot to shovel out in that heavy snow.
Yes.
And if you are out of shape and don't want to have a heart attack, it's worth the $20, you know? But the guy makes the comment that having spent 5 hours on our street doing driveways.
5 hours.
Yeah. That it was like something out of a Norman Rockwell picture that he noticed on our street because everyone knows everyone on my street. Like we all the neighbors know each other. It's not one of those areas where you just wave and that's it. We talk to each other. It's an active street. There are kids on it that play with each other. So one of the ladies has her dog out there and has the leash attached to a sled and then has a couple young kids being pulled in the sled down the street by the dog.
Oh, that is Norman Rockwell.
It is. It was so funny. And then, you know, everybody's out there with a shovel and, you know, it's just that sense of neighborhood, community going on out there. And you could see it. Like I shoveled my neighbor's sidewalk, and then my other neighbor, I got her driveway plowed as well as mine. So, because one of the neighbors, she's in her 70s, the other one's in her 90s. So what are they going to do, you know, to get that snow out of there?
Yeah.
So people just, you know, help people. And there's a guy like across the street who has a snowblower, and so then he'll hit his house. And then usually two houses either way on the other side of his.
It's like you live in Kentucky. Do you really need a snowblower? But when this stuff like this happens, you become the most popular guy on the block.
And then like a couple people's dogs got loose and were running around the snow. And so I kind of corralled them to help them get their dogs back. And
well, no wonder your back hurts today, Dan.
Yeah, well, I spent like...
You took care of the whole neighborhood.
No, not that bad. No, but spent like 3 or 4 hours out there in it. It was fun. I tell you
what. Did the boys play out in the snow?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like one of them, his lips were purple for at least 2 hours after coming in because he was out there for a good 3 hours as well. what is it they wanted? They wanted to do something crazy. And I told them, you guys are, oh, they wanted to, they wanted to take their, they asked, said, Daddy, can we take our shoes and socks off so that we can make wolf prints? I said, what? Wolf prints? Are you out of your mind? And so the other little boy from, you know, two doors down, he was there too, and he was starting to take his boots off. Says, look, I'm not your daddy, but you're not taking your shoes off. You know, that's not happening. Wolf prints. Who knows?
I've never heard that. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was a first for me too. I hadn't heard that either. But they had a blast. And I tell you what, being snowed in, I've probably eaten the worst I have all year so far, because I had New Year's resolutions like everyone.
Yeah.
And I've actually done pretty decent. I haven't done great. Like, I'm not exercising every single day, but I'm exercising 3 or 4 days as opposed to zero.
Right.
And I was eating during the day salads, celery, more fruits and vegetables, for sure. And then since Thursday, I think I've had, I don't know how many brownies, because my wife made awesome brownies. She also made like some peanut butter cup cookies, baked spaghetti.
Yeah, that sounds
sausage,
amazing.
Eggs, biscuits. I mean, I'm just, and then of course, if you're snowed in, what better time to drink thick, heavy, high calorie beer?
Right.
And watch
I never make
games.
Big breakfast, obviously, because it's just you're on the go in the morning and stuff. So I made biscuits and gravy. I made omelets.
Oh yeah,
we had some good hearty breakfast.
Yeah, yeah. I've probably gained 5 pounds just in the last 3 days, I would say.
But I have not tried that bourbon snow or snow cream or whatever.
I saw that recipe. Yeah, no, didn't try that either. But I did see the recipe for it.
Yeah,
it sounds good.
It does sound good, and it looks good from the people who make it, but. I don't know. Sounds like you might have a significant amount of yellow snow where you are. I don't know if I would try it.
And they didn't know. The kids didn't know when I told them. I guess I haven't informed them before. But there's my two sons and their buddy from a couple doors down. I'm like, all right, guys, well, just don't eat the yellow snow. Ha, ha, ha. Like, what do you mean yellow snow? What yellow snow? Like, well, if you eat yellow snow, it means a dog peed in it, you know, so you're eating pee. And the neighbor boy looks at me and goes, I had some yellow snow earlier. He was joking, but I didn't know for a minute. Oh, my goodness. 381-1313 if you want to tell us your stories of the street where you've been snowed in or how you got dug out this morning. Because we would got to say again, I mean, you brought it up earlier, but we got to say again, hats off and a big thank you to everyone who works for the city and is involved in clearing the roads and making sure everyone is safe. I mean, big props to Mayor Gray for keeping the 311 number open 24/7 for anyone to call with any kind of snow issues at all to inform the city, and they'll do their best to help. And they've done a wonderful job. I mean, by Friday afternoon, all the major roads were wide open.
And it also appeared as though a lot of people heeded warnings and just they weren't venturing out if they didn't have to.
Right.
A lot of businesses closed
to
keep their employees safe. And you know, they're just sometimes I think people think life and death. You have to be open because it's a life and death thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a life and death thing to stay open.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. You know, but I remember being, you know, working at a TV station on these days and thanking my lucky stars I did sports.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Well, and critics will give TV stations a hard time for it because they'll say, you're reporting that the mayor is telling everyone to stay off the roads and the governor is saying, stay, if you don't have to travel, don't. And here you are with a camera inside a vehicle driving the road to tell us what the conditions are like. Get your own people back in, which I say, look. It's their job to disseminate information. What if they didn't go out at all? They're just going to stay in? They're like, oh, okay, it's bad out. No, of course. Leave the TV stations alone. The one place of business you could criticize are, like, bars. They advertise on Twitter. hey, it's snowy. The roads are horrible.
We're still open.
So if you leave here after a couple, you know, consider it a, you know, an obstacle course on the way home, I guess. It's that, I'm not sure. I understand your place of business, but maybe you shouldn't advocate coming out.
Yeah.
Maybe just say, if you can walk here, come on
right.
over.
Right.
But let's not, you know, drive on the horrible roads and then drink.
And then drive and then get back out there.
Right. Because you're not calling a cab in that weather.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my little thing on them. Maybe they'll call and give us a hard time. You can, 381-1313. We'll be back with more here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know, but we broke down. I thought Jamal played to win today. Every play was a winning play. Had to get on him early because he didn't want to drive by people. He wanted to set up dribble. You know, Alex was doing his thing, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Derek Willis, I told him, Derek, you can miss shots when you rebound and block shots and defend. You don't have to make every shot. The way you were playing before, you had to make every shot because you were giving up a rebound, giving up defensively, you know. So, but it was a good effort for us.
Indeed it was. John Calipari there talking about the win over Vanderbilt. And Derek Willis emerging the way he has kind of filled in for Marcus Lee taking a step back. You know, Marcus Lee has played not so well over the last, I would say, five games or so, four or five, where he's fouled out, not given him much. So Willis has stepped into that role of rebounding, blocking shots, defending, kind of protecting the basket.
Did you see this coming, like, at all? I know in the off season and, you know, this fall, Cal had said, you know, and Derek, you know, he's doing some stuff in practice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of in one ear, out the other for me.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, obviously we expected Scal to be something different than he has been. But I just did not see this coming. And it's, to me, if Kentucky can go far in March and he helps with that, that's the feel-good story of the year for me.
Absolutely. I didn't see him. I saw him maybe having a nice game here or there and being in the rotation a little bit and playing maybe 10 minutes. That's what I thought when Calipari was speaking highly of him going into the season. And that's what I thought. He would be one of the seven or eight guys who plays. Not a starter and not somebody who can give you double-doubles or, you know, lead the team in rebounding and have 12 points or so. So that's big.
And with the absence of Scal and the inconsistency of Alex, his rebounding has really been a necessity. I mean, they have needed every rebound he has grabbed.
Yeah.
And that's been cool. By the way, Cal has just tweeted out a little minute ago about what we were talking about earlier. Because with 48 points,
yeah.
Carl Towns ball and Archie Goodwin.
Yeah.
So.
Now, the thing that has changed these last two games also, I mean, you look at Alex Poitras yesterday, you look at what Derek Willis has done the last few games, but Auburn, that loss down there, Auburn shot over 50%. I mean, they hit 12 threes. It was something where John Robick said, that was a focal point, was running them off of the three-point line. And they still hit 12. So they got back at it, and clearly it was something that they really focused on because the way they defended against Arkansas and Vanderbilt was huge. And here is John Calipari kind of telling the media, yeah, you want to talk about Alex Poitras, you want to talk about Derek, you need to be talking about this.
The biggest thing you're missing here, we defended today. We defended the three. The only thing we did in the first half is we fouled. We had some bad fouls for no reason. You know, Charles had one 92 feet from the basket. What are you doing? You just gave him 2 points. Now he's trying to pressure. No, you fouled. You can't just give him 2 points. And again, you know, you're talking about a foul shooting team. They made 80% of their free throws. And they shoot 20 out of 25. You can't foul a team like that.
Yeah, I saw a tweet.
And they still had a 20-point win.
Yeah. Without, yeah, if you hadn't fouled, you still would have been insane. So, and I saw Chris Fisher tweet this out. I don't know the exact percentages, but it was Vanderbilt and Arkansas are the two top three-point shooting teams in the SEC. Like, Arkansas going into the Kentucky game was second in the country at 45% from outside. Their two guys, Bell and Hannes, they were something crazy over the last seven games. They were hitting something like, I don't know, 50, 60% of threes, just nailing it. They wound up going 1 for 9 together.
Yep.
Arkansas goes 2 of 12 from three-point range. Mike Anderson said afterward, that's not typical for us. We pride ourselves on being a really good shooting team. We weren't. And then yesterday, Vanderbilt was horrible shooting the three. And Kentucky defended it really well.
They did.
That's the mark of John Calipari's good teams, is that defense.
And yeah, you go back and look, they're top five in defensive efficiency every year that they've made these runs.
Right.
I mean, every year they play defense.
That's one of the things that Kevin Stallings said, I think, in the teleconference this week when talking about Kentucky, is said, I've not watched a ton of Kentucky, but I can just tell you that what I have seen is their defense is underrated. You just don't you underrate how good John Calipari is at coaching defense. And just sometimes people criticize the amount that he switches, because that's like his goal, is to have someone at every position who can guard any other position on the floor. That's like his ultimate team would be when he says he wants to play like the Warriors play, where he just has all 6'8", 6'9", 6'10 guys, and those were his five players at point guard in every position. That's, you know, that's his dream, is to have a team that could defend any position on the floor. And so at one point, did you see Ulis was guarding Damian Jones underneath the basket?
I was going to say, Jeff Drummond tweeted out a really good picture of it. Said, I don't care if you got a foot and a half on me, it's still going to be tough to get this ball in.
And they still couldn't. I mean, they didn't go to him. Yeah. And they didn't recognize it, but that's kind of the thing. That's what makes the it sometimes is a weakness. There's no doubt. There are certain games you can point out and go, if they want to switch tier, but that's really the ultimate goal for Calipari, is to be able to switch everything. Because when you can do that, then there's no openings. There's no, makes it difficult on the offense.
By the way, there was quite a bit of talk this week about handshakes, post-game handshakes. Because of the, you know, fight or whatever you wanted between Monmouth and whoever it was. But the post-game handshake between Cal and Mike Anderson was non-existent. I'm trying to think, do you think there's a coach in the SEC that dislikes Cal more than Mike Anderson?
No, I don't. No, I thought maybe Kevin Stallings, but...
Yeah, he's played the two words.
He's more like ribbing, good fun, a little bit of jealousy, and like he calls him St. John and stuff like that. And that's just him taking jabs, you know. But I don't think he truly dislikes Cal. Like, he doesn't despise him as a person or anything, you know.
I think Anderson does.
Yes, I think Mike Anderson really doesn't like Calipari and doesn't like anything about him. He especially doesn't like that Malik Monk is going to Kentucky.
And so I don't know what he had to apologize for, but of course Cal talked first after the game and said, well, he apologized to me. And I thought, well, maybe that's Cal talk, you know, trying to push blame off on Mike Anderson. But then Mike Anderson said, yeah, I apologized to him. It's over with. He didn't want to talk about it anymore.
Right.
But obviously it was something that Mike Anderson had to.
And Calipari said it was probably something I said. He was trying to say. Yeah. I probably said something to upset him, you know, because game's crazy. I probably said something. Yeah, you don't know. I mean, is it was it Jamal Murray late, you know, with a steal? And I mean, was that? I don't know. I think Mike Anderson apologized for brushing him off.
Yeah.
I think Mike Anderson probably was saying, I should be more grown up. He has a hard time giving Kentucky credit for anything.
Yes.
But
it's all we didn't play.
Right. But he did after this game. He did give Kentucky credit for, he said John had his team more prepared than maybe I did. Give them credit. So I hadn't heard him say things like that very often, be complimentary of Kentucky, but he was. He was complimentary of Euless. He was complimentary of Willis.
But the game day crew yesterday said they should just basically do away with the post-game handshake.
I don't like that. I understand that society has changed and we're to a different point now with that, but it's still sportsmanship. It's still a level of sportsmanship. Like there was talk at the high school level last year, the year before.
Yeah, and remember the KHSAA took a lot of flack over it.
Yeah.
I think because it was kind of a misunderstood thing, and then the USA Today grabbed a hold of it.
Right.
And then it was kind of, it became a national story within 5 minutes.
Yeah. Taking away the post-game handshake,
yes,
to minimize fights, basically. And I understand it. I don't like it. That's
even if it's like something that's totally forced.
Yeah.
And kind of insincere.
It's competition. You don't have to hate the other person. You know, like the Bengals hate the Steelers. Those players take it personal, to a personal level. I just think that's unhealthy. Just, it's a game. You're just playing a game against one another. You're competing against one another. It gets a little nasty out there. But then when it's over, you're like, okay, that was in the battle of competition. That happens. You know what happens. It gets heated. I mean, friends playing basketball. Like, if you ever play ball with your buddies, you might get in such a big argument that you come close to fighting. But when it's over, it's like, all right, you know, that happens. We're playing ball. So when you're done playing ball, you should be able to go over and shake the other guy's hand, because ultimately you're in the same boat. You're a fraternity of college basketball players. I mean, you're together in this. So you're playing a game. You should be able to shake the other guy's hand. I mean, it's just a statement on society that you can't do that anymore. Now we can't, because we're too nasty, too violent.
By the way, I know the Bengals aren't in it, but our NFL programming begins at 2:00 today. Got the NFC and AFC championship game first, then the NFC championship. Broncos and Patriots, and then the Cardinals and the Panthers. And whatever craziness has ensued all season long, it ended up being 1-2 and 1-2.
This is going to be really good today. These matchups are so good.
Yeah. Right.
We're going to talk about it a little more. We got to take one more break here. And when we come back, you can talk about it too. 381-1313 here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
And wind began to blow.
Sean on the ones and twos today has really kept it up with the snow and the ice thing.
That's right, he has.
Under my boots and around my toes.
Who is this? I'm not sure who this is.
This is Frank Zappa. Don't eat the yellow snow.
Oh, Frank Zappa. Frank Zappa's a little out there.
Yeah.
Was a little out there. Rest in peace. Right, we were talking about NFL playoffs. Before we get into that and talk about that, I do want to get back to Kentucky and the one thing that John Calipari brought up that everybody should notice, and it's just been two games since that loss at Auburn, but he says it's obvious. If you don't notice this, then you're not watching.
Team's getting better.
Well, anybody
that thinks, I'm answering for you, anybody that thinks this team is not getting better. You're not watching. Dickie V came in and talked to me and said, you know, this is one of your teams that's not getting better. I said, so you're not watching college basketball that much? Like, what are you talking about? Well, the Duke game. The Duke game, they spread the court out. It was a different game. You got a lot of people packing it, and I'm trying to figure out when they do certain things, how do we play? This team is getting better. Derek Willis is better. Tyler better. Jamal's better. Isaiah's better. They're all better. Scow's better. Alex is better. Marcus Lee got to get back to where he was, but he's now starting to get better. You know, if we don't play with energy, if we don't have enthusiasm, and I keep telling them, refuse to lose. You may run out of time. You may run out of time, but it's how you play. Refuse to lose. Dive. Take charges. Make plays. Don't have any thought other than I'm not losing. And that's where I'm trying to get these guys, and we're slowly, slowly getting there.
He was funny post-game.
Yeah.
That when he comes out and Cal is like that, the old swaggy Cal, you know he liked what he saw.
They are getting better. They're going to need to be better. Got Missouri coming in Wednesday night. That's a 9 o'clock tip-off. Hate those 9 o'clock tip-offs.
I know.
9 o'clock on the SEC Network on Wednesday against Missouri. And Missouri played Texas A&M pretty well,
fairly well,
for about 30 minutes. It was a 2-4 point game.
Missouri's pretty terrible.
But then over the last 10 minutes, Texas A&M took off with it. And the Aggies are now 7-0 in the SEC. So then after Missouri, then you go to Lawrence, Kansas.
Yeah.
And play the Jayhawks.
And College Game Day will be there for that.
Yes. College Game Day will be there. I think it's a 7 o'clock tip-off. But Kansas, I thought that they were going to stomp everybody. I really did. And then Travis Ford took them down. Like, after Kansas beat Oklahoma in that triple overtime game, I thought, well, Kansas is clearly the best team in the country. It's going to be hard for anybody to beat them. And then Oklahoma State, Travis Ford's team is not good this year, but jumped up and popped Kansas in the mouth.
Gosh, I've watched Oklahoma a couple times now. I really like them.
Yes.
They are a good team. They blew out Baylor at Baylor yesterday.
They look good. The Big 12 looks good.
They really do.
West Virginia,
they'll be
Kansas,
eating
Oklahoma.
Each other alive.
Yes. But they're going to be jacked for Kentucky on Saturday.
Yeah.
Especially after that embarrassment last year, where after the game, Bill Self reached out for his bottle of water and goes, I was kind of hoping that was vodka.
Yeah.
After that game that just happened. So, I don't give Kentucky much of a chance against Kansas. I mean, I would hope that Kentucky is within 5 points in the last couple minutes. A few points.
Yeah,
I hope it's a
good game because it's tough to win in Lawrence.
Yeah. Maybe that refuse to lose, you know, deal will come out. We'll see. You'll really see, you know, if Kentucky has turned a corner.
And I just don't want Kentucky. They'll beat Missouri, I would think.
Yeah.
So I don't want them to be feeling too great about themselves, having 3 straight wins over mediocre at best teams, and think they're just going to waltz into Kansas and win that game.
If Kentucky plays well at Kansas, I think you can say they've turned a corner.
Yeah.
Because this will be 4 games in a row of playing well after Auburn. Which, by the way, Auburn, they did wind up winning against Alabama, but they got destroyed against Florida yesterday. Like a 30-point loss. That was crazy. Now we'll talk this NFL, because I'm going to be,
glued.
3 o'clock, when 3 o'clock hits, I'm not moving for like 7 hours. I'm going to be down on this. This is Patriots-Broncos, and people keep throwing the stats out of like, at Denver, Brady's record is not so good, or in the playoffs against Peyton Manning, it's not so good, and you know, all this stuff. And that's what I want to see. I want to see the Broncos and Peyton Manning get this done against the evil Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
You hate the Patriots.
I do. I only like Rob Gronkowski. I mean, Amendola, yeah. Wes Welker, liked him.
It's so hard to not like Rob Gronkowski.
Right. I mean, he's a bro.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Rob Gronkowski. I do not like Belichick, and I do not like Brady. I just don't. And so I'm not really a huge Peyton Manning fan. It's just that I like him better than I like Brady. But I really like Danny Trevathan and would like to see him do well.
What about the other game? I am Cardinals and Panthers. All in on Cam. I would love to see Cam Newton go to the Super Bowl.
I'm not a big Cam Newton fan. He's good, no doubt. I'm not a big Carson Palmer fan either. So I don't know. I mean, it really wouldn't matter to me which one of those teams won. I like Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Panthers, because he was on the 85 Bears. The Bears.
By the way, did you see who the Bears' new quarterback's coach is?
Dave Ragone. Like, this kills me, because Ron Rivera was the Bears' defensive coordinator. He wanted the head coaching job. They dropped him as the defensive coordinator. They hire Mark Trestman as their coach, mm-hmm. All right?
Yeah.
Ron Rivera then becomes the head coach of Carolina because they fired John Fox, who then goes to Denver and gets fired again, and now that's who the Bears have. Unbelievable. And here's Dave Ragone. As if Jay Cutler is going to listen to anything Dave Ragone has to say. Are you kidding me? I mean, Cutler will be like, look, when you were at Louisville, you know, they just put me in the Hall of Fame at Vanderbilt. Did you see that? That just happened. What could you possibly have to help me? I've also been in the league for much longer than you ever were and had more success than you. So here's my bag. Carry my bag, Dave. Really, this isn't a knock on Louisville either. Dave Ragone is, I'm sure he's been a good coach everywhere he's been. It's fine, but it's Jay Cutler.
It's also more of a knock on the Bears, I think, for their bad decisions.
Oh, it's just.
I just think it would be if we saw Cam Newton and all the flamboyancy, the dabbing, the dancing.
Oh yeah,
against Bill Belichick, like just as straight laced as you can possibly be.
Yeah,
where you have maybe the best quarterback to ever play in Tom Brady,
right.
Whether you like him or don't, with maybe like the future of what a great quarterback in the NFL is in the Super Bowl. To me, that would be the best matchup.
Of the four teams remaining, Patriots, Broncos, Cardinals, Panthers, the Cardinals are the most boring.
Yeah.
Even though Bruce Arians wears his Kangol and is, you know, the coolest dude in the room. I would probably like to see the Cardinals the least in the Super Bowl. Everyone else, it would be more entertaining in my mind. But Carson Palmer and Cam Newton, first Heisman Trophy winners facing off in the NFL playoffs. All right, thank you for listening to the Dan and Mary Jo Show and making us the number one rated Sunday morning sports talk show in Lexington. We hope you are warm and dug out and safe and all that stuff. And thank you to the city of Lexington and all the workers for really putting their best out there this weekend and through all the snow. Thank you.
Heck yeah. We'll see you back here Saturday morning at 10 a.m. The sky.